Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
The problem with you Christians, commented an atheist, is that you've monopolized all of the holidays. You have Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, All Saints Day, and what have you. What we atheists need is a holiday all of our own. With a wry smile on his face, his friend countered, "How about April 1? Centuries ago, the psalmist wrote, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." But it could well be translated, "There is no God for me." A lot of people who describe themselves as atheists have second thoughts when the going gets really tough. A friend of mine, a commercial pilot, tells how their plane was caught in a ferocious thunderstorm, and the plane was buffeted by the wind and the storm. Following one stomach-wrenching drop in altitude, the co-pilot, who called himself an atheist, cried out, "God help us!" Having his thoughts on getting through the storm, the pilot, who was a committed believer, said nothing. But when they had flown through the storm and things were considerably smoother, Don turned to the co-pilot and said, "Hey, back there, didn't I hear you say, 'God help us,' or something like that? I didn't think you believed in God." "Well," replied the co-pilot, "atheism is okay when the flying is smooth, but it's not so great in a storm." So is it with life. Strange as it may seem to some, when God moved upon men to chronicle the events of Scripture, He never saw the necessity of inspiring them to offer conclusive proofs for His existence. Nowhere in the 66 books of the Bible will you find conclusive proofs or arguments for His existence. And in the final analysis, nobody can prove God to anybody. But neither can anyone disprove His existence. The writers of Scripture assumed His reality as the very fabric of existence. Yet their logical demonstrations of His existence, which are far easier to accept than to attempt to deny or disprove. Writing the first sentence in the Bible, Moses began by saying, "In the beginning, God," or simply, "In beginning, God." Perhaps the closest thing to a proof text is the statement found in Hebrews 11:6 saying, "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophet, saying, "But if you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him, if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Occasionally, I hear someone say, as I did recently, "Well, I searched for God and I didn't find Him." When I hear that, I often counter, "Perhaps you searched for Him like a thief looks for a policeman. So where do you find God? In nature?" Not really. Nature is destructive. The storm sweeps across the island or through the valley, catches the young in its devastating power. Perhaps you look for God in the depths of the human heart, thinking that surely there is something of God's image in every person. That's a risky business. Auschwitz, Buchenwald, along with the prisons which are overflowing, do not impress me with God's image in humankind. Neither am I impressed with the way most treat their neighbors. If you're really interested in finding God, I suggest you look for Him in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." It is still true today.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.